This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com.
Welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hi, everybody. This is Greg Gazin, and welcome to another edition of the Toastmasters podcast. We have a great show lined up for you today. Not only do we have one guest, we have three. We have Jan Vecchio from Sydney, Australia, District 70, Region 12. We have Carl Divenvorden from New Brunswick, Canada, District 45, Region 9. And finally, we have Pamela McCown from Pasadena, Texas, District 56 in Region 3. Now, these incredible Toastmasters have something in common. Yes, they're all distinguished Toastmasters, but also they're all chief ambassadors. They are the leaders in their respective districts that have been charged with the task about spreading the word about Toastmasters International's new revitalized educational program. If you want to hear more about the revitalized educational program, check out podcast number 74, where PASS International President Pat Johnson and CEO Dan Rex talk about the program, or you can visit toastmasters.org/REP. There were 14 individuals, one from each region, that were interviewed in the March edition of the Toastmaster magazine. And I had an opportunity to speak with three of them individually for this episode. So in this episode, you're going to get to know them a little bit better, hear about some of their experiences in the role, what they've learned, what they've seen, what they've shared. And for those of you who may know these individuals, you may get to find out some interesting little tidbits that you never knew before. So sit back and enjoy our latest podcast. We have today with us Jan Vecchio from Region 12, District 70. She lives on the northern beaches of Sydney, she tells me. She's a self-employed contract accountant, tax agent, and marriage celebrant. I didn't know what that was. I thought she celebrated marriage, but looking it up, I guess that she's licensed to perform marriages in Australia. She's been a Toastmaster for 18 years this month. She's done all 15 manuals. She's got 3 distinguished Toastmaster designations. She belongs to 8 clubs, including 7 in District 70 and 1 in District 69. And was a district governor for the year 2012-2013, and she's been taking on roles in district leadership since 2003. Welcome, Jan. Glad to have you with us today.
Thank you, Greg. It's a pleasure to be here.
So you've been a Toastmaster for 18 years, so I'll ask you right away, what's your take on the revitalized educational program?
I think it's something that is well overdue because since I've been in Toastmasters, we've not had any significant changes. We've had a competent leadership manual introduced. And I know when I joined around 1997, perhaps just before, there was a significant change within the competent communication manual. I'm not sure what it was before, but I understand people had to complete 15 speeches. But the big change in the last 10 years, 15 years, has been with technology, using computers. I mean, I remember when I first joined Toastmasters and we sent our agendas out in the mail. We didn't even send our minutes out. There was no communication on internet. So it's changed. There's been such big changes in these 18 years that we need to get up to date with everything.
So this opportunity came about to become the chief ambassador, and it's obvious. I mean, it seems that you're very eager in taking on Toastmasters roles and participating in clubs. You jumped on it. What did you see that you could do with it?
I saw that I could lead a team, and I could lead a team in an initiative that I feel is exciting and, as I say, is well overdue. In technology, I felt for myself it would be challenging to lead such a large team, and for me to come to understanding all the technical side of what will be happening with this new program.
For the benefit of those who may not be familiar with the program, what would be involved in the role as Chief Ambassador?
In my role as Chief Ambassador, I collect the information from Toastmasters International. We have webinars from time to time. We have a webinar at the end of this month. And what I do, I collect the, in fact, while that webinar is on, I'm collecting information and then I collate that and send it out to my ambassadors so that they are fully aware of what is happening. I want to keep them up to date, informed at all times. I also prepare information to send out to all of the club presidents to make sure that all of our club presidents are fully aware of what is happening with the revitalized education program. And I also do club visits. I'm also doing visits as well.
And what's been the reaction so far to the program?
I think generally it's quite exciting. I think people agree that we have to move into the 21st century with technology. There are some who are hesitant because they're a little bit, they're afraid of change. They like, you know, we've been doing it this way all along. Why would we want to change? And they're afraid of technology, just as most people are, I guess. I'm a little bit afraid of technology as well, because it either works or it doesn't work. And when it doesn't work, that's what scares me. In trying to create that awareness, the excitement about the program, it's also allaying any fears of the change, that we will still have the basic core principles in Toastmasters will exist, and that we will still have the paper manuals. We will still be able to get that. And I think that is comforting for some of our people. But I think the general concern for the older population within Toastmasters is the use of technology.
I think a lot of people are sort of resistant to change.
Well, that's true.
Now, I noticed that in the article you'd mentioned that you like the fact that the mentorship and the evaluations will still remain key components, and they'll pretty much stay the way they are, but there'll be more of a combination with the communication and the leadership component as opposed to separate tracks.
Yes.
How do you see that playing out?
At the moment, as you're aware, we have the communication track and the leadership track, and some people focus solely on the communication track. And I believe they're missing a major part of what Toastmasters has to offer, because through the leadership side, I think you become a much better communicator. So I'm really keen to see the leadership combined with the communication so people can get a feel for these leadership projects that we're doing. I think a lot of people are just afraid of leadership. I'm not sure why. I mean, well, I guess I was to start with as well before I joined Toastmasters. But I've come to learn and to like leadership, and I believe that we are all leaders in different ways, and it's important to learn the leadership. So I think in combining communication and leadership, people will have a more rounded education from Toastmasters, and they will come out of this with flying colors.
And it'll reflect a lot more what truly happens in life and in business.
Exactly. I don't think people realize that they are leaders at this point in time. They're either leaders of their family. Parents are leaders. There are people in church groups. They're leaders. We are leaders in every part of our life. But I think when you talk about leadership, people think, the prime minister, the president, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be the CEO of a company. But there's leadership at so many different levels. And that's one of the messages we have to get across, and why learning the leadership skills within our organization is so important to their life. As far as I'm concerned, it makes you a much better communicator if you take the leadership side of Toastmasters.
Excellent. I want to ask you one more thing that's not directly related to the Revitalize Education program, but it's something that you shared with me in your bio. You wrote that, "I wouldn't be doing what I do in life and love doing what I do if it was not for Toastmasters."
That is so true. I was speaking with somebody yesterday and I said, I could not imagine my life, where I would be at this point in time without Toastmasters. The last 18 years have been a life-changing event. I used to be incredibly shy and couldn't carry on a conversation with anyone. So now I enjoy chatting with people. Even when I go to a shop, I can engage in a conversation. But it's more than that that I've gained from Toastmasters, because when I'm in a group, I'm happy to contribute my ideas. I've come to the belief now through Toastmasters that my opinion is not wrong, that my opinion is my opinion. Whereas before Toastmasters, I wasn't game to give my opinion because I thought if I'm wrong, it will look bad. That's why I enjoy life so much. You know, I just love doing what I'm doing. What I think an exciting career, even though people may think accountancy isn't exciting. I love what I do. I love being a marriage celebrant. I also play the piano at retirement villages, and I wouldn't be doing that if it wasn't for Toastmasters. I wouldn't have the confidence to do what I do, and I just love living life thanks to Toastmasters. It has given me a life.
Jen Vecchio, thank you for taking on the role, a very important task on being a chief ambassador.
Thank you, Greg. It's been a pleasure to be here.
We're pleased to have with us another chief ambassador. He's from District 45. He lives in New Brunswick, Canada. District 45 comprises of about 100 clubs in 3 Canadian provinces and 3 U.S. states on the eastern seaboard. Carl Divenvoorden is a distinguished Toastmaster, past district governor, and he joined Toastmasters in September of 1989, and he was sure to tell us that he never left. He was a distinguished district governor, received a presidential citation in 2013, and he continues to remain active. Welcome, Carl.
Thank you very much, Greg. It's a pleasure to be on the podcast.
You joined Toastmasters in 1989, and I love that in your bio you said, and you never left. As a longstanding member, you say that you're always interested in new opportunities and challenges that would really stretch you. How does the role of Chief Ambassador do that for you?
Well, as you mentioned, I have been a member of Toastmasters for quite a while. I actually joined Fredericton Toastmasters in September of 1989. And I can remember walking into that first meeting, and I met a lot of wonderful people, learned about this program. Well, I never left. I add myself to the chorus of members around the world who say Toastmasters has changed their lives, because I now work as a speaker, a writer, and a sustainability consultant, and I can honestly say I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing if it were not for what I had learned in Toastmasters. And when I learned that the Toastmasters educational program was going to undergo a revitalization initiative, and they'd be looking for people to help promote that and bring that message, bring developments as they came out onto our membership, I thought, oh, that would be a fun role to try.
That's awesome. So what in particular excites you most about the new revitalized education program?
Oh, whenever I learned what was coming, I think the one thing that jumped out at me was the personal learning path and the chance that we can all of a sudden focus our Toastmasters learning toward the things that we need most in our career, or the things that interest us the most, or perhaps in an area where we have our perceived greatest personal need. And I think this new revitalized educational program with the personal learning path enables that distinction to happen earlier. And today's members, you know, members expect flexibility. It's not one size fits all today in our global organization. So I really like the personalized approach and the fact that there will be so many nice real world projects available.
So everyone has the projects, but yet they'll be able to customize the way they want to learn.
Yeah, that's right. And we're already seeing a bit of a framework emerging, but the nice thing is within that framework, there will be so many varied options and so many personal choices. And when a new member joins, they go online so that they can assess their needs and interests, and then voila, they get the personalized learning path. And again, so many different options and so much real world applicability. That's where the excitement lies for me in the new program.
Awesome. You're the chief ambassador, and your role is to oversee the other ambassadors. How do you go about inspiring and motivating them?
We're very lucky here in District 45 to have some wonderful Toastmasters who've stepped up and volunteered to offer as ambassadors. And it is my pleasure to lead a team of wonderful people like this. And in terms of inspiring and motivating, well, again, I think they were pretty self-motivated because every one of our ambassadors stepped forward of their own accord and opted to take this on as their own personal learning challenge as well. But in terms of my role in keeping the motivation up and in inspiring, I guess there are a couple of things that I strive to do as chief ambassador. First one would be clear communication, so that I strive to ensure that the ambassadors know what I know as soon as I know it as well. In other words, staying clearly in touch with our ambassadors. And one of the tactics that I've tried to use, and I hope it helps with clarity and helping people manage a lot of information and not getting encumbered with too much information or information overloaded. One of the tactics that I use is that when I send out emails to all of the ambassadors, I send them out to a group of ambassadors, of course, but I always number them so that hopefully ambassadors can file them away. And then if ever we need to go back, I say, oh, remember email number 5? It was mentioned in there, or that type of thing. So I think we're up to about number 15 by now with emails to all of our ambassadors. But I think clear communication is really important, and especially where the process of the revitalized education program has changed a little bit as it's been developed. So that's one, clear communication. Number 2, I try to follow up. Try to make sure that I'm punctual in my responses. When an ambassador sends me a note with a question, I'll do my best to answer all questions and make sure that they have the support they need to do the job that we're asking of them. I also try to lead by example. I don't expect that ambassadors will do anything that I wouldn't do. And in fact, I've pinch hit for our local ambassador here at some local clubs where I've gone in as the ambassador and presented to those clubs, because those clubs happen to be a lot closer to me than to the nearest ambassador. And then finally, I think acknowledgement is a really important part of motivation as well. So I strive to acknowledge our ambassadors each time in all of those communications, but also at our district conferences. When you lead a team, you need to make sure that you support them. You need to make sure that you acknowledge them. And maybe here's a good testimonial to the fact that, I hope at least, it's a testimonial to where that process is working, because recently all of the ambassadors were asked if they were willing to extend their terms, and we had 100% retention here in District 45.
Wow, that's great. Actually, on that note, we know that there have been some delays with the program. What's your take on that, and how are you handling it?
I'm not totally surprised that the program is taking a little bit longer to develop than we initially expected. You know, it's a huge, huge undertaking. I can remember being in on a webinar that was led from World Headquarters, and the lady in charge of the program, Sally Newell Cohen, mentioned on that webinar that this is the largest project Toastmasters has undertaken by far in its history, and it's touching every single department. So in a way, we shouldn't be surprised that perhaps it's taking a little bit longer than we initially expected. From the perspective of a chief ambassador, it means we need to reevaluate our communication plans a bit more and to make sure that we, when we come to members or to clubs, that we always have something new to say and that we're not just showing up to say the same stuff that we said before, because I think it's always important that we have some new value to add when we visit clubs or when we speak to members. In the larger picture, really, it's not bothering me at all to say, you know, the program's taking a little bit longer, but really, it's so much more important that we do it right than that we do it fast.
Thank you very much for that, Carl. I'm going to ask you just one final question. Your ambassadors are doing presentations at the various clubs, and of course you mentioned that you do them as well. What's the message that you feel the clubs should be left with after the ambassador's visit?
There are two key messages that I think are critical for our members. First, the new program will be very exciting, and it will definitely be worth it. So let's keep our patience and recognize that when it comes, it will be wonderful, it will be exciting, it will be worth it. And the second key message is, let's not lose track of the fact that the program we have now is a wonderful, powerful program. So let's keep working it. There will be plenty of overlap between the current program and the new program, so there will be no stranded accreditations. There will be no lost work. There will be very, very smooth integration. I'm very confident of that. A great program when it comes, and plenty of time to integrate what we've done now into the new program.
Excellent. Carl Dijvenvoorden, thank you very much for taking on the role as Chief Ambassador. I'm sure there'll be a lot of people that will benefit greatly from your efforts. And thanks for taking the time to be with us here today.
In both cases, it's my pleasure.
Hi, everybody. We have with us today Pamela McCown. She's from District 56. She's from Pasadena, Texas. She tells us that District 56 is the biggest little district in Texas. Pamela joined Toastmasters in 2001 to gain leadership experience and worked her way through district offices to be elected as International Director in August of 2009, position that she held until 2011. She still continues to work with district leaders and represents Toastmasters in a number of capacities. Pamela is also from a Toastmasters family. Her father was a Toastmaster when only men were allowed to be members. And she has three older sisters that have also been members of Toastmasters. One of them is in the state of Washington, and she's completed her DTM, her Distinguished Toastmaster Award, last year. Hi, Pamela. Thanks for joining us.
Hello.
You're there?
I am here.
I love that biggest little district in Texas.
We don't cover much real estate, but we have more than 3,000 members, almost 4,000 members now.
Wow. Awesome. After we had talked previously and you'd mentioned about your dad, I had gone back and I was looking through the 90th anniversary resources, and there's actually a photo of the original basic manual from the 50s that was written by Dr. Ralph Smedley. I understand that you have that manual. Tell us a little bit about that.
My father was a member of Toastmasters when only men were allowed membership in Toastmasters. He wore a special lapel pin to the meetings. It was a golden globe with gavels, had a screw-type back that screwed into the buttonhole on his suit jacket lapel. We were always enamored with that pin. The men were pictured in his pictures of the Toastmasters with business suits, white shirts, and skinny neckties. I remember thinking he was a part of a secret society where men went to smoke cigars and discuss the issues of the day. It seemed very important. It was not until after my father's death when we discovered his Toastmasters basic manual. Then I came to realize much more about the program and the influence that it had on my dad's life. He was a member of High Noon Toastmasters in Houston, Texas, and this club is still operating after 67 years. It's the oldest club in District 56.
Now, this is certainly a bit of nostalgia, and I think that's pretty exciting, but there's a connection between it and the Revitalized Education Program that you're pretty excited about.
I am excited. I'm most excited about the competency-based learning. When you look through that basic manual, you see that the projects were focused on building core competencies. It focused on building competencies that young men could use to become leaders in their families, their careers, and their communities. There was a self-assessment at the beginning of the program and at the end of the basic manual under assessment called What Did You Get Out of It? The competencies were self-competence, self-confidence, ability to think, tolerance, ability to profit, increased usefulness. I liked the wording on these things. Business advancement and social success. So the Revitalized Education Program, we're getting back to those basics by incorporating core competencies into every project. Each learning path has visioning, project planning, and leadership opportunities, unlike the current program where members complete communication or leadership track projects. The Revitalized Education Program will incorporate communication and leadership at each level of the program.
Wow, amazing. One would never think, well, actually, no, it's not true. Sometimes to know where we're going, we have to know where we've been. Now, you and I have had a conversation before, and one of the things that you shared with me is that there is a lot of information with respect to the new program, and of course, there's going to be a lot more coming. What I'd like you to share is, what are some of the processes that you've put in place to ensure that this information is not only getting out, but it's also being received?
The first thing we've done is sent the team of ambassadors out to make presentations to their home clubs. They will get feedback from the members, and then the questions and suggestions from those visits have been shared with the education team at Toastmasters World Headquarters. As the chief ambassador for the district, I've been invited to share highlights of the program at several different district events, the conferences, club officer training, leadership workshops, and marketing workshops. At our district conference in May, we're planning an ambassador orientation session. It'll be focused on educating the Revitalized Education Program ambassadors. However, it will also be open to the members to attend. I will also deliver a presentation during the annual business meeting to update the district and club leaders on the latest program information. The district website features a link to the Toastmasters International Revitalized Education Program page. We publish updates in the district newsletter, and we publish new information as it becomes available.
Okay, so you've taken a sort of a process approach. It sounds like the ambassadors are getting a lot out of this. What are they learning from this?
They're learning really valuable skills about how to deliver a coming soon message. A lot of times in the real world, we're charged with giving a message to people that we don't know a lot about. This is the case in the Revitalized Education Program. They're faced with fielding questions that don't always have concrete answers. I've described our objective to them as promoting a movie that no one has seen. We know the program will be engaging, exciting, and will build skills in both communication and leadership. We expect this program to increase membership, trigger member retention, and ignite seasoned Toastmasters with a new sense of purpose.
That's interesting. As an ambassador myself, I can certainly understand that, because they want to know, what's the program all about? And you want to say, well, here's what we're doing. Here's some of the things that are happening, and there's more to come. One last question for you, Pamela. As a chief ambassador, what is your overall goal for District 56 with respect to this program?
Our goal in District 56 is that members will take away a renewed enthusiasm for their Toastmasters membership. We want the best possible member experience for each of our members. I volunteered to serve as chief ambassador in my district to lead the team that gets the word out about this exciting new program. I want members to fully understand the new direction of our communication and leadership programs. I'm excited about serving the members by explaining how this program will change lives. I believe Toastmasters is in the business of changing lives. The revitalized education program has much potential to change the way we look at things. And when we change the way we look at things, the things we look at change. We expect our members to fully embrace this change, set new goals, and learn to engage others at a greater level of communication and leadership competency than ever before.
I had to really think about that quote for a second, but I think that change is good. And I really like when you spoke about renewed enthusiasm, because I know there are some Toastmasters that have been around for a while. They've done their Distinguished Toastmaster designation a few times. And I think something like this, I think many are self-motivated, but I think some need a little bit of a kickstart.
I would agree. The Distinguished Toastmaster thinks that they've been there, done that. DTM sometimes means don't time me. And they forget about project objectives and the mentoring that they can provide to club members. I think this revitalized program will give them that opportunity to learn something new and then to teach it and mentor others.
Pamela McCown, thank you so much for your time. And once again, thank you for stepping up and being one of our chief ambassadors. Again, like all the other chief ambassadors and learning ambassadors and everyone that's taking a part in helping this program move forward, thanks for being with us today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.